I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Craig behind the glass, our engineer today, Bo Morgan producing the show. He is Mike Bell. I'm Carl Dukes. Welcome to Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, follow us across all social media platforms. You can do that at 929 The Game. Of course, on the gram, and like the show on Facebook as well. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes on Twitter, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. What's going on today, man? Coming off of yesterday's show, a lot of people were excited to hear from Frank DeVore, our new manager. And got a lot of response after we talked to him yesterday, Mike, with our interview. So, listen, guys, we talked about it yesterday, but just a big shout-out to everybody over there at Atlanta United's training grounds. Great job helping us out. And, Frank, for coming on the show, and we'll see where this thing goes, man.
I mean, as a United fan, you just hope it's exactly like last year, but it's not going to be exactly like last year. There's going to be differences. I mean, if Miggy gets eventually sold to a team, whether it's in England or Spain, most likely England, you know, then we're going to lose one of the great scorers and one of the great playmakers. So, yeah, I mean, you got that, plus, you know, how Frank puts his stamp on things, you know, and there's always going to be grumbling about a coach no matter where he's been, but this guy is one of the greats and, you know, a legend in European soccer. So, I'll tell you this, you know, just to meet the guy and talk to him on air and off the air, he's impressive as heck.
No, he really is. If you missed the interview, go online at 929thegame.com to check it out. You went to the doctor today. Don't want to put your business out there, but is everything okay?
You know, let me just say this real quick. Dr. Bobby Kaufman, I've been going to for like 20 years here. You know what the worst thing is? Every year I go to the doctor's office, I get fatter and he gets thinner. You know what I mean? So he comes in, he's got like, what are you making a movie, Bobby? What's going on? You know, he's got one of those guys, custom made head to toe. Like, really? Here I am in Adidas sweats trying to suck in my stomach in front of the nurse. You know, just feel like a fat slob. They took blood. And literally, the noise made it was like this when it came out. It was like it had like cheese in it. It was like a beef and cheddar sauce. But anyway, the good news is my blood pressure is down.
That's good. That's good. What about the cholesterol? We don't know.
We're going to know. We'll have a guess. My cholesterol, the closest without going over, will win a prize. And of course, I have to run that through Corpus. That might take 6 months. But again, I'm going to say I'm around 300.
Okay.
I got a feeling I've made some really unhealthy decisions the last 12 months.
Okay.
Now, are you going to go get your butt in there or what?
I need to go to the doctor as well. I need to go to the doctor. I need to go get a physical, man. I told you guys. It's been a while. And, you know, as men, we just neglect ourselves. This is what we do. And then you look up and you're like, oh, I haven't been to the doctor in 8 years. Because my dad never went to the doctor. My dad hated the doctor. And, like, so
I think all guys hate the doctor.
But, no, I mean, like, he'd be deathly ill and wouldn't want to go. He'd be like, I'll be all right. Just give me some of those mints. So for me, I need to go, and yeah, I got to get in there. I'm not afraid of my cholesterol, though. I'm afraid of the other stuff. Here's the deal. It's Dukes and Bell. I'm afraid when, like, they take blood and they run all the tests that it's all going to come back, like, terrible. Like, you know, I'm waiting for that phone call, ping, and you pick up, and it's like, you need to come back in. We've got some news for you. I dread that, so I don't want to go.
Well, not to get – if you're eating your lunch, you might want to turn your radio down. Have you done the colonoscopy yet? That's you got to do that, brother. You're getting up there. Guys our age, you eat like we do. Once you hit 45, they're saying you got to get in there and get the pipes looked at.
Yeah, listen, I did it. I told you I had some issues a while back, and this was back before I actually moved to Atlanta and went to a guy. I told you the story, Dr. Butts, who had heads. He's a hunter and had heads of the kills.
Critters.
Yeah, that he had in his office. And, you know, it was funny until you actually went into the office. But to your point, I got to get all of those things. For me today, as Mike was at the doctor, I'm in the car heading here, minding my own business. Mike, does this ever happen to you where you hear a song randomly and then it just won't go away?
Oh, yeah.
And today, I hadn't heard this song in years, to be honest with you. And all of a sudden, the song comes on.
Let me see that song.
And I'm in the car like, and I can't get this song out of my head.
Oh, this takes me back. This takes me back a long ways.
So I'm jamming out. I get to the station, we're talking, and all I hear are you, and you're speaking to me, Bo's speaking to me, Craig, and all I hear is dun, 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 dun. Cannot get it out of my head. What is that song for you when you hear it and now it's stuck in your head all
day
long?
I mean, this takes me back to the days of the Gold Club. I got to be honest with you.
That's what
that
I,
was, that was
I hadn't heard it in years.
That was near the end of an amazing run here in Atlanta, right off of Piedmont, and boy, was that fun. But yeah, that's what I think of, like seeing like all the wrestlers and a lot of ball players in there. I mean, musicians. It was a scene, man. And this was a part of the soundtrack.
Oh. So anywho, that me see. Yeah. I'm like, I can't get it out of my head.
All right, so we'll put that down for that's nominee one for the game winner for later. A song that's like a splinter in your brain when you get it. So get on that. And by the way, yesterday, before we get to the, you know, talk about the headlines and stuff, Mike Conti was funny because he was like, you know what, I'm done with Twitter. Remember last week, he's like, I'm about to get done with Twitter.
Yeah, because every time he says something, people go in on him.
So earlier, you know, the big story this week for sports, and again, it's tough because you've got to tread lightly because it does involve the White House and the president, which immediately gets, you know, one half of the country or listening audience going one way and the other half going the other. But all I said was, this is in no way. So let me just run this by you real quick. Because Okay. Remember, Mike ran this, but he was talking about last week, it was about two quarterbacks from Metro Atlanta.
Yeah.
And well, then what exactly is Metro Atlanta had won national championships with Deshaun Watson. And then later it was Trevor Lawrence and people saying, Cartersville ain't Metro Atlanta and people don't want to be part of the city. And then Mike was getting into it with the listeners and it went on for like a day and a half. Anyway, I wrote down, here's the preamble to my tweet. I go, this is in no way an endorsement of the current administration. Which is pretty self-explanatory, right?
I think so.
And then I said, but when I was 19...
Oh, you're a Trump hater!
Here we go.
You just said when you were 19!
When I was 19, an unlimited buffet of fast food would have sounded pretty good to me.
Yeah.
That is not... Again, I said it in black and white on Twitter. This is in no way an endorsement of the current administration. All I'm saying is, if you were going to throw an endless buffet of football food at me, I'd be all over it. Wendy's and, you know, Burger King, McDonald's, I'd be eating that stuff. Nothing to do with who's serving it and what the circumstances are. Just the quantity of the free fast food is what I was talking about.
And what happened?
Well, you can imagine.
They went sideways.
Immediately, people accuse me of being a Trump lover, and then that gets the Trump bashers on you, and then the Trump lovers and the Trump bashers start killing each other.
Yeah.
And then it becomes...
And then you sit back and watch the Trump lovers and Trump bashers.
It just degenerates to like this verbal jousting that you don't want to be a part of. So then, as I said, the comment was about the food. Anyway, I give up. The funniest thing I found today, thanks to our buddy Andy Rosenberg, a loyal listener, it's a picture of Andy Reid smiling with his finger up in the air and his mouth wide open in the Kansas City Chiefs locker room, Carl, after beating the Colts. And the caption reads, when you realize you're just two wins away from the fast food buffet at the White House.
It's like he's dancing. It looks like he's dancing.
It's up there at Mike Bell ATL. So I think that's a tweet we can all enjoy, no matter where you fall politically. Carl is at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and we're at Dukes of Bell 929.
Yeah, I got to say this, though, as we talk about this, and we're going to get into some Falcon conversation as we look back on some of the things that took place this year. Von McClure from ESPN, who covers the Falcons, put out a nice article talking about the best rookie. And we know who that was, the most improved. And we'll get into the Jaden Hazelwood stuff as well from the Dogs, because I know a lot of Dog fans might take offense to some of the things that were said. But, you know, here's the thing. And I say this on the show, you know, sometimes 140 characters or what is it, 240 characters, right, doesn't allow you to say some of the things that you really want to. And when it comes to those very generic tweets, Mike, that you just tweeted out this morning and talking about, you know, a very random, funny thing. And you're not taking sides. Here's the deal. And guys always try to tell us to stay in our lane, right, and stay in this box that, you know, we call the world of sports. But, you know, our lives are bigger than that. And we are Americans. And if we want to have an opinion about something, right, we will. Here's the deal, and I said this months ago, and I'll say it again. You don't like what I say or you don't like what I put out there, unfollow.
That's it.
You have a choice, okay? So I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I'm just saying that more times than not, the stuff we put out there, we're really trying to engage and have fun mm-hmm. with it. We're not making a stance. Now, there was one particular time or two maybe that I can think back where I've actually tried to say something of meaning.
Right.
And even that, you know, can go sideways. So, again, just be careful with what you're saying. But I hear you, man. I saw
that.
You just
can't win. But it goes back.
You can't win.
You and I have had this conversation. This happened when we were talking about Kaepernick, and we tried to have a good dialogue with people about that as best we could when that was really a bigger story. But, I mean, it's just, you know, and I want to get off my soapbox, but you just don't have a dialogue. Everybody just starts shouting from their corner, you know, and it's about every issue. You know, that's what drives us crazy because, you know, talk radio is about we talk, you talk, we share opinions. You know, you give us your take. And then on Twitter, when it's working, it's fun. You might have a good take. How many times we get some good stuff from somebody, we're going to use it on the air or on our text line. You know, I mean, it's kind of fun to exchange viewpoints and do it in a respectful manner. Now, sometimes, look, and I'm guilty of getting sideways on it just as much as the next guy, but you try not to do that.
Yeah, I guess I don't get caught up in that anymore. I realized a long time ago, you know, you got, what's the word I'm looking for? These folks who are just like looming. And waiting.
Yeah, they're just, it's a bunch of provocateurs.
The trolls.
Yeah, the provocateurs, the trolls.
You know?
The gotcha guys, the gotcha. They want to get you.
They're just waiting. And then all of a sudden, you don't even know who the hell this guy is. He's got three followers, and all of a sudden he's going in on you, and it seems like everybody else is jumping in. I only bring this up to say what Mike's describing, we've all gone through at some point, whether it was your friend or you saw it taking place, and then you jumped in a conversation, and you go, wait a minute, what just happened? So, I'm with you on that, man. And listen, I thought the Trump fast food thing was hilarious, first of all, okay? And I've been to the White House. I wish these kids would have been able to experience the full White House experience and have
and all of D.C. because with the government shutdown, you can't do all the things that they normally would have done.
Yeah, but even so, Mike, just going there, people think like you just show up there. When I went, it was a lot easier to get in. Now you damn near have to win a national championship to get a tour of the White House. And so my point is, you know, they didn't get that full gamut of experience. So I thought it was hilarious. Listen, it's kind of creative. What are we going to feed these kids? Fast food. It's funny. Get over it. It's not that big of a deal.
So, but you know,
people, and matter of fact, the kids cheered, by the way.
I mean, that was the point of my text. When you're 19 or 20 years old, you know, and again, until you learn about fine dining, you learn about, okay, would you rather be eating little cucumber sandwiches with the you know, with the crust cut off, or you eat a Big Mac, you know. So, as we said, everybody's politicized the whole thing.
There was a week, maybe 2 weeks in college, I ate nothing but fast food.
Right.
Every day, well, I mean, for every meal.
Domino's, we had a deal. You know, it's funny because I did Domino's commercials when I worked in Virginia. Order enough Domino's off the Domino's like gift card to live on, you know, for like about a week or two. So, look, man, it is like everything said, like everything else, it is just something that immediately the conversation goes, and then people start yelling at each other.
Let's get them fast food. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
local, L-O-C-A-L. Local is the word. Text it to 72881. 72881 right now for your chance to win. Remember, message and data rates do apply, guys. And good luck this hour, local.
Local, man. And we are live and local for you. And if you're not familiar with the contest, we got to get some winners, Carl. We've given away over $15,000 the last couple of years with this. We want to give some loot away. So text local to 72881.
All right, man. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines, including Hawks in action tonight down at State Farm Arena. Kyler Murray, and some people saying he's not a first-round pick. We'll get into all of that and more here on Dukes and Bell.
Let me see.
Oh, really, Craig? Come on. I was just starting to make it fade away. A guy at work, his name's Rocky, says, dang it, man, trying to work. Now all I got running through my head is this damn thong song. I'm sorry. It happened to me today. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, we got headlines coming up.
It's amazing. The music does take you back to a spot, though. It does take you back to a place sometimes where you were, or just in this case, a song which is catchy and just sticks in your noggin. But to me, I just think of like all those nights at the Waffle House on Piedmont. All right, I'll give her 10 more minutes and I'm going to leave.
What do you mean you give her 10 more minutes? What are you talking about?
No, the girl that said she was going to meet you after the...
you're talking about... Oh, I'm like, what are you talking about?
You know what? I've waited a half hour.
Waffle House?
The parking lot.
Oh.
I've waited a half hour, and that's all a Home Depot now. Again, I'm old, Carl. I've been here for 21 years.
All right, man. You can text us, 404-741-0929. That is the number. We're going to get into some headlines. Real quick, Mike Conti just mentioned Dennis Schroeder. returning tonight. First time he's returning, Mike, with OKC. Now, we're actually going to the game tonight.
We got tickets.
Yeah, full disclosure. But Russell Westbrook, he'll do his thing. But this is revenge. For Dennis tonight? Huh?
Yes, it's very real to me because I was treated so poorly. I'm going to stick it up that little Schweinhund's head. What? You called that man a pig dog? You know, the thing with Schroeder is, I think you and I both pretty much defended him and wanted to move on because Teague is Teague.
Yeah.
You know, one step forward, two steps back. Schroeder's just even more infuriating because the talent is there, but the effort is just so inconsistent and just drives you crazy. But we had to turn the other page and move on.
No, listen, big picture.
Did you see my gold Aldi out front?
No, I did not. I'm sure he still has one or maybe multiples now. I just think that you had to turn the page if you were going to do this whole rebuild thing. And it started with getting a true distributor. That's what Trey is. You know. And by the way, real quick, did you see Zion last night? Now, I know they lost.
Right.
35-10 at Duke. When's the last guy that you remember? Think about all the stars that have come out of Duke.
Right.
He's given you 35-10. The other night, I think he had 30 and whatever, Mike. This kid is a man among boys,
now,
man.
Trey Jones goes out with a sprained shoulder. And look, the zone defense for Syracuse gives everybody trouble, right? That's
yes.
That's their thing.
Yes.
That's why it's always a difficult matchup. But, if you didn't see Zion, and again, when we say, Carl and I say, I must get to Zion, you know, from the Matrix, I mean, that's shorthand for him and or R.J. Barrett. I'll take either one. R.J. Barrett, you know, would be fantastic here if you want to try to become that next version of Golden State. But Zion would pack the rafters. People would be here to see this guy put on a show because he's already doing it in college.
10 of 14 from the line, Mike. I mean, now I know he missed a free throw late, as you might have seen last night. But, I'm saying I want Zion. The more I watch R.J. Barrett, selfish. He shoots the ball well. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be a great NBA guard. I just think for what we're looking for, the more all-around talent is Zion Williamson. And he's showing it night in and night out. And last night was a prime example, but 35-10?
And with a bad eyeball, too, because he got poked in the eye. So, I mean, he didn't really have the best. You're clear to play, but still, you're a little foggy on one side, and he was still nailing those shots, man.
All right, man. You can text us, as I said. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, by the way, 3 o'clock hour, we will get into our NFL Blitz segment. We got a lot to talk about around the National Football League outside of the championship games this weekend. By the way, the Patriots are the underdog for the first time since 2014. Think about that for a second. We'll get into all of that and a lot more. Right now, though, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with the Hawks. Travis Slink talking about the Thunder and what they expect to see tonight. Now, I know the Hawks have a bunch of guys that are questionable, maybe probable for tonight's game. We're not sure who's all going to play. But at the end of the day, we've said it. This is our theory and what we want on this show. Again, we're not speaking for the Hawks. Let our guys continue to develop and take the L. Here's Travis Slink.
They're extremely long. They're extremely athletic with Russ and Paul. But, guys off the bench come in and they play hard. And, Steven Adams anchor in the middle for them as a big physical guy inside. So they're a good team, no question.
Pregame, 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game right after we get done. Tip-off is at 7:30 as the Hawks continue this homestand at State Farm. Meanwhile, what's up? What were you going to say?
No, I'm curious. Steve Adams is like the missing link. I can't wait to see him in action tonight. The forehead and everything.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude.
I'm telling you, he's like Cro-Magnon, man. But anyway, get a chance to see him out there. And I mean, let's be honest. Little DNP's here. Watch Russell go for 35. And, it's okay. We're trying to get to Zion.
There it is. Hey, Kyler Murray, do you think he is a first-round pick? Now that he's declared, you got all this debate going on about Kyler Murray, and I don't know if he's a first-round pick. Okay, so if he goes in the second round, then he's making the mistake, Mike, because he's not going to get the money that he would have gotten being a first pick or first-round pick, for that matter, a top-10 pick.
No, he wants to be 15 to 25, I mean 30, I mean whatever. But, I still think, he's more talented than Lamar Jackson, would you agree? More complete than Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
I mean, right now, we'll see how he – I'm just worried. The only thing you and I touched on is earlier yesterday is the size thing. Do you worry about him taking a hit? because it's not that he wants to run. You just can't run the ball. RG3 saw that, and RG3 is actually bigger than this guy. And I'm not making this about the size, because I think the height thing is always overplayed by general managers and personnel guys. But are you worried about him just taking the blows over the course of a career?
All right, so I'll relate this to the NBA, and this is where talent assessment and you know, as far as scouting comes into play. Murray's 5'9", okay? Russell Wilson, should I say, is around 5'11". Breeze is listed at 6 foot, 5'11". Baker Mayfield, I think, is 6 foot. Here's the deal, though. This last NBA draft, I'm going back last spring, I said draft Luka Doncic if he is going to be the next Dirk. And if he is and you feel like that, okay, draft him, because you know what that potentially is going to mean. Obviously, we know how that played out, and he's playing great, and he might be an all-star coach's selection and all of that. Mike, I just think it's how you value the talent. Murray's a kid that runs 4.4, but his smaller stature, it might scare some folks away.
5'11 in spikes?
Maybe.
I mean, that's you know, they do fudge the SIDs do fudge some of that information you see on the listing. We've talked about that. I mean, Drew Brees, you look him in the, we practically looked him eye to eye when we had him on the show.
I said 5'11", but here's the deal. The guys he's going up against in this particular draft, and I'm just talking about, you know, guys that are going to be drafted. Haskins is 6'3", 228. Drew Lock, 6'3", 225. Will Greer, West Virginia, 6'2", 224. You're talking about a guy that's 5'9", 190.
I thought he's 5'11".
With shoes on.
All right. Well, I mean, they'll be really, really long spikes. Mike Vick was 6 feet, but he was like 5'11 also.
Well, so, I mean, that's the thing. And again, if you're going to say, well, height doesn't matter, the kid can play, I'm with you. That's why I bring up these other quarterbacks. Right. They were able to overcome this height deficiency thing that every NFL scout and front office worries about. Oh.
I mean, Drew Brees is 5'11". I mean, they list him at 6, but you always see him doing the thing with the neck when he's looking over the line, as long as you've got a good offensive line.
Kyler Murray's listed at 5'9", 190. Here's the other thing, and I don't know, you know, again, we're going to be able to discuss this as we get closer to the draft, but as he declares, this is the topic of discussion that's going on. Mike, a lot of people say he had an elite offensive line at Oklahoma, played in a conference below average defenses, so it's really hard to look at the tape and evaluate him. Even though he won the Heisman and he threw 50 touchdowns, you go, wait a minute, his offensive line was elite in a conference where the defenses were average at best. How do you really evaluate
him?
Well,
I mean, that's just it. And only one season of play, whereas Baker Mayfield had more time out there. Haskins, you've seen him now for a couple of seasons at Ohio State. I'm with you. I mean, there is the gamble. You know, and whether this is just a ruse to get more money out of the A's. And Deion, if you didn't see it, Deion Sanders in an interview says that, yeah, he should just go play baseball and take the money and less abuse. But, I mean, here's the thing. It just takes one team. It takes one team, one guy out there that thinks they're going to find the next Deshaun Watson or, you know, I mean, maybe even a more polished version of Lamar Jackson throwing the ball. But one guy, one general manager, that's all it takes.
All right, man. We'll talk more about it coming up a little bit later
on in the
show. By
the way, I said two. Probably just cut you off. Haskins only played one full season himself, but he also threw 50 freaking touchdowns.
Yeah, Haskins.
Combined running and throwing.
Yeah, listen, I've said I think he'll be the first quarterback taken, but I'm just comparing him to these other guys.
Here's the thing, though.
Stidham is 6'2",
yeah,
by
I mean,
the way.
And Stidham, unfortunately, the best game he had was his last game at Auburn. You know, he's throwing the ball all over the place in that one. How about this? Drew Lock. What's Drew Lock's defining moment at Missouri? What's Drew Lock's big game, the big money game where Drew Lock led that team to the big win?
He is a polarizing prospect. I would personally not take him. I would take Kyler Murray over him because I just think in the big moments, Kyler Murray showed up. Even in the Alabama game where they were down, they showed some heart and you know, the kind of the definition of what Oklahoma's offense was all about, trying to get back into that game. Hey, man, we got more to get to. Coming up, our NFL blitz. But when we come back, guys, we will get into some of the things that we talked about yesterday with Frank DeBoer, and, you know, people were talking about the pressures on. I'll let you hear what he had to say next. Mike and I spent all afternoon out at Atlanta United training grounds yesterday. Great afternoon, man. Had a lot of fun. The entire radio station was out there. We had a chance to visit with Frank DeBoer. But a lot of guys getting a chance to speak to the media today, Mike, as they start training and getting ready for this upcoming season, which is, you know, as we talked to Jason Longshore and Mike Conti about yesterday, that the start of this season is going to be a little challenging with all the games at hand.
Now, the thing is, Frank DeBoer's resume and his reputation is about, you know, using a lot of the younger guys, and you're going to see a lot of, I would imagine, the bench and some dudes being called up from Atlanta United, too. And we did sign another guy, by the way. We'll talk more about that coming up. But you're going to have to because the schedule is just so compressed between the CONCACAF. And again, for those who don't understand, it's a gigantic acronym, which basically means soccer in Canada, Central America, Mexico, and us.
Caribbean.
And the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And we play in these games, basically the top four teams from each league play each other. They do it over in Europe. It's a very prestigious tournament, and it's becoming one over here in this hemisphere. So they want to win those. Then you got the U.S. Open Cup, which, again, last year we said we wanted to win, but we didn't really put the best players on the field. And then, of course, you got all these, because we're so popular, all these three games in 1 7-day period, which is, you know, very daunting. We won't do that in our inaugural season because we had to wait for Mercedes-Benz to get finished, remember?
Yeah, man. Listen, there's going to be a lot on our plate, and I'm talking about Atlanta United's plate, but this is the norm, okay? And I know it's not for us because we're still getting acclimated to these schedules, Mike, and how these games are played in these tournaments, as you just mentioned. But let's hear from some of the guys, man, because as they hit the field today, the pitch, they were talking to the media. Jeff Lorenowitz talking about CONCACAF and how quickly it has a quick turnaround for, you know, these guys to get back to work.
Well, it just comes quicker, you know, and it's a high-intensity game, and you're thrust right into a knockout route again. You know, you can play one, two, three games in the regular season, and, you know, you don't really feel the effects of those wins and losses as much. In a knockout round, you have to be prepared from minute one and to play a two-leg series against a difficult international team. So every goal counts, every decision counts, and you're kind of right back into that playoff mentality.
What did Jeff have to say about the new manager? Of course, I'm sure all the guys have had a chance to meet Frank DeBoer now. Here was his comments about the new skipper, the new manager.
You know, these are footballing men. They're professional. They're just as Tata came in to get a job done, he's doing the same. Personalities are different. Cultures might be a bit different, but the goal is the same. And, yeah, we're looking forward to getting started.
Same goal. New manager. I don't think we took anything less from Art's time that we spent with Frank yesterday about that. Now, it may be done differently, and that's fine. Listen, he's a different guy. I said it, new era. But the goals don't change for our club.
Yeah, man, and I know that certainly, you know, he might have a different evaluation, different feeling about some of the guys. I mean, Barco's a guy. We spent a lot of money to get Barco. And between the suspension and being banged up, you know, he's a super sub. And when he comes off, you know, when he comes on the field, you know, good things are happening. But I'd like to see more from him. But then at the same time, I don't want to see Tito Villalba not on the field because Tito always makes things happen. And you want to talk about the super sub. I mean, he's got the, you know, the goal of the year 2 years in a row for us. So, you know, it's a good problem to have. I mean, the first things first, as far as like the game of Jenga or the dominoes, wherever you want to play it, is once the Miggy finally does get moved on to Europe, then you do open up some spaces. We did sign another young guy today. Darren Eales mentioned it. It's a young man named Dion Pereira, who plays for Watford over in the English Premier League. He's had a couple games for them. There's no room for him because he's international. Okay. So according to Jason Longshore, he would most likely be spending time on Atlanta United too.
All right. So that was the comment by Darren Eales on Twitter saying, I see a DP signing coming.
Hey now.
Here is Michael Parkhurst talking about being the hunted because it's changed for Atlanta United now.
It's not something new to us, but it's something that we're going to have to deal with and know that we have to be at our best every game against every opponent, home or away, in order to get results. And, you know, that's a challenge for us, but it's a welcome challenge.
So, you know, we say this about these NFL games, right? You know, you win on Sunday, you get 24 hours to celebrate, you get a day off, you turn the page. It is a quick celebration as far as, wow, we got it done, even for these championship games. You know, you heard guys in the locker room, and I think, Mike, that's unfortunate. I think this the way today's society is. Everything's right now, right? Got to move, got to keep moving, and nobody wants to just take that moment to go, that was a lot of work, and it paid off, and now we've gotten it. I got a W. Michael Parker has talked about the fact that you win a championship, and then you're right back at it.
Well, thankfully, we won it because, I mean, coming back here on that short of an off season, having not won it would have been a lot more difficult than walking in through the front doors and seeing the trophy there. So that definitely helps. But, you know, it seems like, you know, you want to be able to enjoy that, and we did. But now the challenge is, you know, focusing on the new season, you know, the upcoming games, the expectations, you know, the CONCACAF tournament, and making sure that we're ready for that.
As he said, imagine if you had lost to the Portland Timbers or we'd gotten beaten by the Red Bulls and we never got over that hump. That would have really been a real drag to come back and only have about 6 weeks to kind of try to get your head right. So you're coming back with the championship. We were looking at the schedule yesterday because today, by the way, for season ticket holders, they had single game tickets. They had an advance sale for us if you want to grab extra tickets for your friends or people you want to bring to the matches. There's a match with the Red Bulls. I think it's July 7th. I was looking at that one because I mean, we don't want to get punked by those guys in the next year. I mean, we want to keep our foot on the throats of the Eastern Conference. I don't want some payback with a Dynamo as well.
Yeah, everybody's talking about Toronto and how good they're going to be this year. And listen, I don't doubt that.
It's all your fault. That's what you chant when you see them, by the way, with Bradley and for those who don't know, and Jose Altidore, the Americans who, of course, let us down 2 years ago.
They blew it. You blew it! last but not least, Frank DeBoer talking about the pressure of being defending champs. And the reason why we're letting you guys hear these sound bites again, we were at the training grounds yesterday. They introduced the manager. Today, guys are back at it. They are training.
We are the champions, and maybe we have to dominate even more the games. They think, okay, you're the champion, so you're going to make the game happen. And that's maybe a different approach, and we have to learn during the season, but also already prepare them for that.
Okay. That's our man, again, Frank DeBoer, the new skipper for your Atlanta United, and a very impressive dude, as Carl and I said. He's brought some of his guys back. Some guys were retained from Tata's staff, including the goalkeeper coach. So now just getting to work, as we said, very quick turnaround. And, you know, you want to win the hardware, but at the end of the day, Carl, just get in the playoffs. I don't necessarily have to have – I know that Darren wants the supporter shield for the best record and all that, but when you look at the schedule, we told you all day today and yesterday, that's a lot of stuff going on, man.
It is.
A lot of games and a lot of wear and tear. And, again, knock wood, because we've dealt with injuries and pretty much were able to you know, get around it. Garza was back in time for the playoffs. We've had, you know, guys like, you know, we mentioned that Joseph was banged up last year, the year before. And then we saw, you know, Tito have to come off the bench, and he was banged up too. But luckily, for the most part, we've been able to avoid the big injury. This year, remember, Nagby was out for a big chunk
of
the season.
Yeah, you don't control that stuff. And this is why depth, again, is important. We've talked about it with our Falcons. We talk about it in soccer. It's no different. You still need guys to step up, step in, and play well. And if there's a fall off, you feel it. And usually you feel it in these games where you need the 3 points, Mike, and you don't get it. So, yeah, we're very lucky in that way. But I think this year we're going to learn a lot about how – not only our new manager in Frank DeBoer, but also the organization manages the young talent because of these games and how we see different lineups and intertwine that with, as you said, what's important. You know, what is really important to win, and you got to prioritize. They're not going to tell us that. They're going to say all these matches right. are important and all these trophies are important. But I think you bring up a great point last year when we were talking about the U.S. Cup, and everybody's like, "Yeah, we got to win it." And you're like, who's the lineup?
Yeah, and we brought in a lineup that was, you know, a lot of reserves, a lot of guys off the bench. I mean, and that's cool. But, I mean, I know that we're trying to learn the cons for this, especially if you're the casual soccer fan. You're going, all right, explain this to me one more time. Okay, for the third time. Imagine during the regular season, the Braves would also be playing a baseball team from Mexico or from Japan in a form of, like, champions, like all the guys who won divisions last year and all the different top levels of baseball. And that goes concurrently with your regular season. So you have a homestand with the Cardinals, and then you play the Tokyo Giants. That's the best way I can explain it. Mm-hmm. And that's just some of the things which they have to deal with in the earlier part of the season.
Yeah. All right, guys. As more information comes out about potential signings and things that happen with our Atlanta United, and I know everybody's still wondering, what's going to happen with Mickey? We asked this question yesterday, and Darren Eales said to us, as he's been saying all offseason, short offseason, that if someone approaches the team, okay, with the right number, they're open to listen. That hasn't happened. So Miggy's under contract, and Miggy will be here. And that's pretty much where it is. That doesn't mean that that can't happen before the start of the season, but right now that's kind of where we are, Mike Bell.
And again, whether it's 30 million American, that would be less than 30 million euros or British sterling. So there's still some numbers to get nuanced and finessed. We'll see. But that is part of our business model. I mean, this was always in the plan. But, hey, I'd also be stoked, as would all United fans, if Mickey's back here for another year.
Love it. I really would. We know what he brings to our club. And, you know, remember in the playoffs we were talking to everybody and they were like, listen, he's the difference maker. He really is. I love what Martinez does, but he's the difference maker. Hey, coming up, we got some interesting comments from a guy that everybody thought might go to Georgia. He didn't, and now he's talking about his recruiting process. Jaden Hazelwood talked about the UGA staff. It's something you'll want to hear. But when we come back, it's the NFL Blitz here on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.